We are working our way through a four-week series called Small Things, Big Difference. And the reality is that when the New Year's comes, we often want a big change in our life right away. And yet what the scriptures would teach us is that it's small things done consistently over time that will lead to a big difference. Well, this week I was reading an opinion poll. This was from a little bit ago. The opinion poll was taken. And they discovered that there is something that more Americans will do this week than we will exercise, more than we will have sex, and more than we will even go to work this week. What is this widespread activity that so many Americans do so regularly? The answer is prayer. Prayer. In fact, there was one study that included only self-identified atheists and self-identified agnostics. And in that particular study, they discovered that one out of five, 20% of the self-identified atheists and agnostics pray daily. Not just pray, but pray daily. And maybe that's you. Maybe you're here and you're like, I don't even know if I believe there is a God, or if there is, I don't know how you would actually know this God. But maybe you find yourself drawn to pray and you want to do that from time to time. And I would believe that that's because God has placed eternity in your heart. And so in some sense, prayer is the most natural thing available for us to do. We are wired to connect, to commune, to speak with something or someone that is larger than ourselves. And yet, as natural as the desire is to pray, prayer is also something that needs to be taught. In fact, the original disciples once came to Jesus and they said to him, Lord, would you teach us to pray? So what I want to do is I want to give us six small things from the scriptures that will make a big difference in our prayer lives in 2017. And that will lead to a stronger, more vivid, more adventurous, more consistent prayer life is possible for every single one of us this year. So we're going to consider that. But before we do, let's pray. So Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We see your goodness all around us, even in the cool air, even in starting this year, Lord, with more rain. We thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you for the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., his impact of living his faith out publicly, Lord. And so, God, now we come and we ask that you would teach us how to pray, that you would speak to us from your scriptures. Lord, we believe prayer is powerful because you tell us that, and because of your love and affection for us. Would you reinforce that belief in us? And Lord, I just pray that the Steelers would beat the Chiefs by 7 tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Did I pray that? Are you allowed to pray that? Are we allowed to pray that? The Chiefs fans would say no, you're not allowed to pray that. Well, go ahead and grab your bulletin and flip it open to this little center section. And God wants us to pray about all things. That's what he says. So flip it open to the center section here. You'll see the teaching notes that are there. You'll see that there are six of them. And so that means each of them are going to be really short. We're going to fly by them. You have the scriptures there as well. You can fill those out, the teaching notes, as we go throughout our time together. Well, the original disciples came and they asked Jesus one day, Lord, would you teach us to pray? And that might not seem too interesting until you put it into context. If you were to open up a Bible and begin in the biographies of Jesus, of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we would never find an instance where the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, would you teach us to witness? We never find an example, even in all the miracles that they saw Jesus do, where the disciples came and said, Lord, would you teach us to do miracles? We never see an example, even all the teaching that they had seen Jesus teach to the large crowds that were there, we never see them come and say, Lord, would you teach us how to teach? They were intimately aware, just by watching the life of Jesus, that all of those things flowed out of his time with his Father, out of his prayer life. And so they come asking, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, judging from how widespread prayer is within humanity, it's fair to say that we're hardwired for it. And yet, we also must learn to pray. It's something we must be taught. So when it comes to our prayers, what are some small things that can make a big difference? I'm going to point out six of them, as I mentioned. The first one is this. If you make this small change, it'll make a big difference. You need to plan your prayer time. Plan your prayer time. I think prayer is a little bit like the stars coming out at night. If the stars would only come out one night a year, not every night of the year, but if they only came out one night a year, I'm convinced that that day, it would be headlining global news that the stars were going to come out that night to see them. And because of that, if it only happened one evening a year, everything would stop and we would all create a plan to get to the darkest place that was reasonable to get to so that we could see those stars on that one night a year that they are visible. But since they come out every single night of the year, we can tend to take them for granted. We think, well, why should I have a plan to go stargazing when they're still going to be there tomorrow night and I'm feeling kind of tired and I'm a bit worn down and I've got other more urgent things to do? I think prayer is like that. Prayer is the lifelong chance of a lifetime. And because it is the lifelong chance of a lifetime, we can slide into taking it for granted and end up thinking, well, we don't really need to have a plan for it. If I told you that God was willing to listen to your prayer request only one day a year, you would have a plan for that one day. You would have a way figured out that you would want to come before God and speak to Him. And so we don't often have a plan for our prayer life because God cares so much to listen to our prayers at any time. And so therefore we can take it for granted. But one of the things we see in Jesus's life is that He had a plan. In fact, in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it tells us this. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where He prayed. Jesus had a certain time and a certain place and a certain plan to His prayer life. Now, for Jesus, the prayer was that He got up very early in the morning, okay? Little congregational participation time on both sides of the street. How many of you would say, just by nature, that you are a morning person? Go ahead and raise your hand if that's you, okay? Man, you were like a lot of you over here. I don't like any of you people, okay? I'm not like you. How many of you are like, 11 a.m. feels early for me? That's kind of, right? Okay, right? That's, you're more my people. I guess this is 9 a.m., so you all are morning people. I know not all of us are morning people, but there is something to be said for starting your morning off, your day off with prayer. But even if you're not a morning person, what I would say is you do need to have a certain place and a certain time in which you pray that would work for you, that you're ready to come before God and speak to God and have a conversation with God. Now, for me, the certain place for me, I actually have three certain places that I use. I have a chair in my bedroom that I use sometimes. I have a chair on my front porch and I have a chair in my backyard. Those are my three kind of prayer chairs. And depending on my mood and the weather and other different factors, I might go to a different one of those locations. But I'll go to that chair and I'll sit there or sometimes I'll kneel and I'll put my arms up on the chair. That is my place. Those are my places of prayer. And I have a certain time that I do that. Now, when you have your certain place and your certain time, you need to also have a plan for whenever you come to that prayer time so that you're not just there like, okay, I'm here. Now, what do I do? In fact, when the disciples said, Lord, would you teach us to pray? Jesus gave them an outline, a prayer outline that we call the Lord's Prayer. It's for you there. We sang the lyrics earlier, and it begins in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 in your bulletins. Now, one of my prayer plans whenever I come and I sit in my prayer chairs is I follow the Lord's Prayer. Now, I not only recite the words, though I'll do that, but then I will pause and I will personalize each phrase. For example, Jesus' plan for His prayer time starts off with worship. He says, Our Father in heaven, Your name is holy. So my prayer time begins with focusing in on a point or a reason to worship God. It might be an attribute like His omniscience or His omnipotence. It might be about His mercy or His compassion. But I focus in on a reason why God is to be worshiped. And then notice Jesus' plan focus on the kingdom next. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so then I'll pray that, but then I will make it personalized where I will think about cases or instances where I'm asking for God's will to be done, either in my life or maybe someone I know or in the life of the church or in a neighbor or a friend's life. God, would Your will come in that situation? He goes on and says, give us today our daily bread. So I pray about areas of practical needs and provision. It says, forgive us our sins or forgive us our debts. So then I pray that, but then I will confess my specific sins, not just general, but specific sins to God. Goes on and says, as we have forgiven our debtors. So I search my heart and I ask God to help me Would you help me identify, is there any area where maybe I'm harboring bitterness or frustration or unforgiveness towards another person, and then I seek to forgive them in that time? Goes on and said, lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. So I pray for myself, for my family. I pray for you all as part of Christian Assembly. I pray for the church in the city at large and around the world that God would lead us not into temptation. But I make that specific. I think about the temptations that you might be facing or that I might be facing. And I pray for you in that way, that we would be delivered from the plans of the evil one. Now, another part of my prayer life as I plan it out is I have some things that I pray for every single day, and I have some things that I've assigned to certain days that I pray for them. This is what I mean. On Tuesdays, I'm with our staff all day. My entire day is meetings with staff members. And so I make that the day of the week where I focus in and praying for our roughly 50 staff members that are part of Christian Assembly. And so that just fits into my rhythm because I'm with a lot of them all day. And so they're right in front of me. And so I'm praying for them on Tuesdays. I have a different day where I pray for those of you who are life group leaders. So if you're a life group leader, I have a day of the week where I'm praying for you and praying that God would bless you as you continue to lead well and strongly. I have a different day that I pray for my lost neighbors and friends. On a different day, I pray for our city to be a more just place. And so I have different days of the week that I will pray for different things. But the first thing you have to see is that Jesus, in his prayer life, he had a plan. He went to a certain place at a certain time, and he had a certain model that he followed when he prayed. And that small thing will make a big difference in your prayer life if you would implement that in 2017. The second thing that we see from Scripture is this. Pray short prayers. Pray short prayers. Praying shorter prayers is a small thing that will make a big difference in your prayer life. Here's what Jesus says about that in Matthew 6. He says, and when you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. The Lord's Prayer, the one that we just kind of walked through, is shockingly short when you compare it to other prayers of the ancient Near East in the first century. Jesus's prayer that he taught the disciples to pray is something that you could say in like probably 30 seconds. It was shockingly short. You see, our Father, Jesus is telling us, doesn't hear us because of the length of your prayer. He doesn't hear you because of how loud you pray either. He hears us because he loves us and is so intimately aware of you and your needs that he knows what you need even before you ask it. See, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. Prayer is laying hold of God's ever-present willingness. Now, here's my theory on prayers. You can test it out and see if it's right or wrong. Here's my theory. The longer your prayers are, the less often you will pray. The longer your prayers are, the less often you will pray. What'll happen is you'll think, well, I should pray, but I don't have time to do like a legitimate long prayer, and so I'm just going to have to put that off till later. But the problem is that Jesus is saying is that longer prayers are not more legitimate. Pray shorter prayers, and I believe you will actually pray more often about more things because you will understand that if you have 30 seconds, you would be able to pray in that moment, maybe thanking God for something, confessing, maybe asking God for something. And so pray shorter prayers. Now, if you are in a small group or a life group or a Bible study table or recovery group, everybody else will like you better if you pray shorter prayers. I'm telling you, that will happen, right? And some of you are thinking, like, I can think of some people. I want them to pray shorter prayers. If you pray shorter prayers, I believe you will pray more often about more things in 2017 than if you go the unbiblical route and think, well, it's only a legitimate prayer if I pray for a really, really long time. See, you won't do that as often. But if you have short prayers, trusting that God will hear you because he loves you, not because of the length of your prayer, then you will see that small change make a big difference in your prayer life in 2017. The third thing that we see is this. We want to pray specific prayers. One of the prayer mistakes I think that we make in our lives is that our prayers are too general, and they're so general that we sometimes then can't see the specific answer to them. So we would pray something like, God, would you bless me? Would you help my work? God, would you strengthen me and would you give me community? Those aren't bad prayers. But the problem is that they are too general for you to even recognize when God is answering that prayer. So we need to take the general prayer themes of the Bible and make them specific to our lives. So as I mentioned, I take each phrase of the Lord's Prayer and I make it specific in my life. And specific prayers, what I've discovered, are much easier to see whether they are being specifically answered, which then builds your faith in the power of prayer. A couple years ago, a woman came up to me after one of our services. It was actually, I think, on the north side of the street. And she came and shared with me that she said at the time that she was being tormented by a dark spirit, some type of dark evil spirit, specifically at night. And she said, I get this like choking sensation at night, and I kind of feel like I'm being held down and kind of choked. And she said, I've gone and seen doctors. I thought maybe it was a panic attack and everything, and nothing's kind of worked. And so I just wanted to come and talk with you about that. This was just after one of the services. And so I knew her story a little bit. I knew that she had recently become a new believer. I knew that she, prior to becoming a new believer, had been involved with the occult a little bit. Her husband was there with her, and he was not a believer, but he was there because he just wanted to be supportive, and he shared that he had actually seen this happen a number of times, because they'll be laying there and she'll be making these gagging noises, and he would wake up and see, like, and he wouldn't know what to do. And he said, I feel so helpless when this is happening. And so he explained that all, and I'm asking a few more questions. And so then I said to her, I said, well, what do you want to pray? What do you want to ask God for as a result of this going on? And this is what she said. She said, well, could we pray that God would show me what he wants to teach me through this? And this is where I show you how bad of a pastor I am. Because, you know, normally what they would teach you in seminary, if somebody says, here's my prayer request, you're supposed to show like no surprise or shock whatsoever and be like, okay, yes, let's pray about that. That'd be good. You know, and so she says this. She says, well, could you pray that God would show me what he wants to teach me through this? And I said, really? Like, that is what you want? That's what you're asking for? You want to keep being choked in the middle of the night, but you just want to know what the lesson is that the choking is supposed to teach you? Like, wow, that's really? And she was like, well, actually, I was talking to a friend and said that that's kind of what I should pray for. And I said, well, listen, let me just tell you that if I felt like there was some type of dark evil spirit that was choking me, my prayer request would be to be free of it. That'd be my prayer request. That's where I would start. We can learn the lessons down the line, but that would be where I would start. And she said, well, could we actually pray like that? Like, is that even like allowed? And I said, well, actually, Jesus, when the disciples said, teach us to pray, one of the things he said was, would you deliver us from evil? And so how about we take the exact phrase that Jesus taught us to pray and we make it specific that this evil spirit would depart right now and no longer oppress you. Let's pray that it ends today so that you can get a good night's sleep tonight, and not just tonight, but every night this week, not just every night this week, but every night this month and this year. And she was like, can we really pray like that? And I'm like, that's how Jesus taught us to pray. So let's do that. So we prayed. It was a short, specific prayer. I didn't yell. It wasn't loud. Her head didn't spin and she didn't levitate. None of that happened. Okay. Nothing dramatic happened in the moment. If you were witnessing it, you would have said, there's nothing powerful going on right there. They're just having a quiet conversation. The next day, she messaged me telling me that whatever had been happening to her had stopped. I checked in with her a month later when I saw her at one of the services, and she said, yeah, it's been a month and nothing has happened. No choking sessions in the middle of the night. It's now been a couple years since I prayed that prayer with her, and whatever it was stopped on that day that we took that request specifically to Jesus in prayer and used what he taught us to pray, making it specific to what she was facing. And I often think, and I've told her this, I often think about that original prayer request. I guess I should ask God what he wants to teach me through this. And I've told her, now that it's been a couple years since this has happened and she hasn't had that experience anymore, I told her, I said, listen, I'll tell you what God wants to teach you. What he wants to teach you through this is that he who is in you is stronger than he is in the world, and that a weak person praying to a strong God can be delivered from evil. That's what he wants to teach you through this. But you need to have the faith to say, God, you taught me to pray this way, so now I can come against the evil that's in my life, and I can ask for deliverance in your name. And so that's what we did. And oh, her husband, by the way, who was like, this is a little nerve-wracking and scary, and I feel so powerless, he actually ended up becoming a follower of Jesus Christ and is part of Christian Assembly as well, because he saw the answer to that prayer in his wife's life. So it's amazing what God will do when we pray specific prayers. Fourth thing is this: you need to remove prayer obstacles in your life. The cohesion between our life and our prayers is so important that when Jesus teaches us to pray, we are told to pray that God will forgive us our sins as we have forgiven others. Now, does that make anybody else nervous to pray that prayer? Think about that just for a moment. God, I want you to forgive me in the same manner and to the same measure that I forgive others. So God, you know my tendency to hold grudges against people for 4 months before I forgive them. I would like you to hold a grudge against me, God, for 4 months before you forgive me. I mean, that's kind of what we're praying when we say, God, would you forgive me in the same manner, the same measure that I forgive others? That part of the prayer makes me a little bit nervous, but it also makes me take my forgiveness more seriously in my life. In fact, Jesus underlines that part of the prayer only two verses later, saying point blank in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. So it seems clear to me that if you are asking God for forgiveness, but you're not willing to forgive someone else who has sinned against you, that's an obstacle to your prayer being answered. Because your life is woven into your prayers, and your prayers are woven into your life. Too often, when we feel stuck in our prayer life, we fail to connect the dots between our lives and our prayers. There's a lot more to prayer than just what you say in a given moment. Prayer is not disconnected from our life. It's not like we have our prayer life over here and then our real life over here, and never shall the two meet together. We are one person with one life, including one set of prayers that would come out of our one life that we live, including our relationships with others. For example, the scriptures point out in various locations that how we treat others will actually affect our prayers. For example, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says this, in the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat her with understanding as you live together. If you don't treat her as you should, your prayers will not be heard. That's my wife's favorite verse, I think, of all the scriptures. Or Proverbs 21:13, if you close your ear to the cry of the poor, you will cry out and not be heard. You see, how we interrelate to each other impacts our prayer life. The scriptures also say that obedience in our lives matters when it comes to prayer. In James 5:16, we're told that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So when I feel stuck in my prayer life, I try to remember the last thing the Lord asked me to do, and then I try to go back and do that thing. Because obedience matters in effectiveness in our prayers. Now please hear me on this. Sometimes God will say no to a prayer request. And sometimes it'll be the right request, but it'll be at the wrong timing. And sometimes it's just a mystery, and we can't fully understand why God in this moment didn't affirmatively answer that specific prayer request. I am not saying that the scriptures would teach us, do this, do that, and God will become a cosmic vending machine that will give you whatever you want if you push all the right buttons in all the right ways. I don't believe that for 1 second. But I do think that there are too many followers of Jesus who will run into an unanswered prayer, and they're like, well, it's just a mystery. When actually the scriptures would say, would you go back and look at some other areas of your life that might be obstacles to your prayer being effective? Ask him to show you, is there any obstacle in my life that is inhibiting the effectiveness of this prayer? And then go and remove that thing. Go and reconcile with that person or change whatever that item is. Paying attention to and removing prayer obstacles can make a big difference in empowering your prayer life in 2017. The fifth one I would say is this. If you want a small thing to make a big difference in your prayer life, write down your prayers and review them monthly. Philippians tells us, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience the peace of God, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Writing down your prayers helps you to be thankful for all that God has done. About once a month, I write the prayers down throughout the month. I don't do that every single day, but periodically I'll do that throughout the month. And about once a month, typically around the first of the month, I'll just go back and review the previous month's both points of gratitude, confession, as well as points of asking God and telling him what I need. And it helps me see how God has answered my specific short prayers. Otherwise, what can happen is we can pray a prayer and then we miss when God answers it in a way that we wouldn't expect. For example, this is about a year ago, a man in our church shared with me a while back that he was struggling with his finances because he was a business owner in the marketplace. The competition had changed and it was affecting his business. And he came to me and said, would you pray that God would provide for me? And so I told him that I'd be praying that God would provide for him, that God would give us our daily bread as Jesus taught us to pray. And of course, both of us, because he came saying, you know, my business was affected by a change in the marketplace. We were both kind of thinking like, well, if God's going to answer this prayer, it's going to be because the sales will pick up in his business that he owned. We didn't say that, but I think that was kind of, at least it was in my thought of how it would unfold. Well, a bit later, his wife, in a different conversation to me, not knowing that her husband had come asking me for that, that we would pray together for that, she shared with me, just after one of the services, a point of good news, and she said that unexpectedly, she had received several thousands of dollars more in a work contract than she had anticipated receiving, because there was some bonus money put in because she had met some timelines and some incentives. And then a little bit later, the same man was able to refinance his house at a lower mortgage rate, which resulted in saving hundreds of dollars. And so he mentioned that just in passing to me. So I messaged him over Facebook just directly and said, it seems like God is answering our prayers in that area that he would provide for you. You know, I said, your wife told me that she'd gotten this extra money from this work, and then you're telling me you're saving hundreds of dollars a month on your mortgage payment because you refied your house. And here's what he wrote back. He said, yes, 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 yes. Thank you for saying this. It would not have crossed my mind that God was answering my prayer in that way. You know, sometimes we can pray a prayer and forget about it, or sometimes we have a certain way that we think that prayer should be answered. In fact, last night, standing out in the lobby, I was just greeting people. This was before I taught or anything. A guy came up to me. He was kind of chuckling. He said, hey, listen, I got to tell you a quick little story. I said, great. And so he told me it. He said, I was at Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf, and it was raining, and I had left my umbrella in the car. It wasn't raining when I came to the coffee shop, so I'm there, and my car's a little bit a ways, and I didn't want to get all soaking wet, but I needed to go. And so I'm standing there, and I was just thinking about the fact that Jesus had the power to control weather, and that, you know, we're supposed to have the mind of Christ. And so I was thinking like, well, maybe if I pray right now, God would make the rain stop just so that I could get, you know, down to where my car is because I didn't want to get wet. And so I just was kind of there. He's like, and I'm having this kind of thought and the rain's there. And he said, I don't even know if I'd gotten to the point of praying it. I think I was kind of like, you know, just kind of joking with God. Like, you know, if you could kind of shut off the rain for a little bit so I could get to my car, that would be really awesome. It would really build up my prayer life. So as I'm thinking all of that, he said, beautiful woman walks up to me with two umbrellas who I've never met before, and she says, it looks like you are wanting or needing to get to your car and you want to be dry. I'll walk you to your car so you don't have to get wet. And he was like, that is not the way I thought God would answer that prayer. But I will totally take that answer to prayer because I got to my car, which was the request, without being sopping wet. And he was kind of laughing about it. We kind of had a good laugh about it. But it did illustrate the point that sometimes we pray a prayer and we think, God, here's my prayer request, and here's exactly how you have to answer it. Rather than saying, God, I'm asking for your provision, and I'm asking you'd give me eyes to see it when you actually provide for me. When I write down my prayers and periodically review them, I'm often delighted to see how God answered my prayers, but often not in the way that I would have first expected. Writing them down and reviewing them, it's a small thing, but it can make a big difference because it builds my faith that God hears and answers our prayers. And it's easier for me to then specifically thank God for all that he has done, as Philippians tells us, when I write them down and review them. The sixth and final thing is this. Small thing that'll make a big difference is pray with and for one another. Sometimes my own personal prayer plan falls off the rails. I get busy, I get tired, I get undisciplined. And that's when I need a little bit of a jump start to renew my personal prayer life. And I've noticed that when that happens, the thing that reignites my private prayer life is when someone who I was with during that day will ask if we can pray together. So they'll say, hey, let's pray about that just for a moment. And there's great power when two people who are followers of Christ agree in prayer. In fact, Jesus tells us that in verse 19 of Matthew 18. It says, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. That's just one of the reasons I think that you need to be in a life group in 2017 so that you can pray with and for one another. And on that note, not this coming Wednesday, but the following one on January 25th at 7 p.m. in the Southside Sanctuary, we're going to have a night of just kind of praise and prayer. Tommy Walker and Marvin Enriquez are going to lead that time. And so you can join us as we have a time to pray for one another and pray with one another. Philippians tells us to take the time to thank God for all he has done and tell him what you need. And that's exactly what we did a little bit earlier in our services. We took the time on one side of the card to thank God for all he's done. And on the other side, as we enter into 2017, to ask him for all that we need. I'm going to ask the ushers to come, and here's what we're going to do. The ushers are going to come, and they have the cards that you filled out. And they're in the blue buckets, and then they're going to pass them, and I want you to take a card out of the blue bucket. Now, make certain it's not your card, but statistically, you're not going to have a shot at getting your own card. It's your prayer request that you put in. Somebody else in the room is going to get your card, and we're going to pray so that we can have two of us praying about the specific things that you wrote down as well as the requests moving forward. Does that make sense? So ushers, go ahead and come on both sides of the street. You can pass that. And while you do that, I just want to read. I've got a couple here that were filled out. I just want to read so that you can hear some of the things that people are grateful for as well as what they're asking for. So what do I have to thank God for from 2016? I thank God for his daily provision, this person wrote. This person wrote, my marriage has been flourishing more ever since I got closer to God. They also wrote, my health has been better since we've changed the way that we eat, and it's not been as difficult as I thought to do that. Another person wrote, I'm grateful for a career I enjoy, one where I can serve alongside those in need. Another one says, I'm grateful for the love that my mom has showed me. This person wrote, I'm grateful for a lot of things, especially 30 years clean and sober in 2016. That's what this person's grateful for. It's amazing. Says, I thank God for revealing to me how much he loves me and that I can actually feel that love. Those are just some of the things that people are grateful for in our church. And I want to read some of these prayer requests. What are you asking God for in 2017? I'm asking for complete healing in my body from head to toe. Another person, I'm asking that my brother would come to faith in Jesus. Another person, I'm asking for complete defeat of the Goliath named debt in my life. Person put, I'm asking for provision so that I can learn to be more generous. Another person put, I want to spend more time with God in devotion this year than last year. I want to have a stronger understanding in my marriage. And I want to have our son finally realize that life without you, God, is so much harder than life with you. This person wrote, I want to be shaped more and more into the image and character of Christ. I want to show others how much he loves them because of how much I've experienced that love. Another person put, I'm asking God to keep me on track, giving me the confidence to follow through for his vision for my life. Now, I don't know what's going to be on the card that you're going to pull out, but you are the only person holding that card. There's There's no backup plan, right? You are the person holding that card. And so what I'm going to do is in a moment, once the cards are final, you know, finished being distributed, we're going to have a time where we're going to pray all together. And we're going to do this on both sides of the street. And so you're going to pray aloud, whatever it is. We're going to start with the Thanksgiving, and we're going to pray aloud, out loud, whatever it is that the person's grateful for. You're joining where two or three pray, you're joining and saying, God, I'm so grateful you did that in that individual's life. And then as the hubbub dies down, then we're going to turn the card over and we're going to join with them presenting the request that they have to God. And so somebody is going to be praying for you and for your prayer requests. If by chance you didn't get a card because we ran out of cards, that's typically because some people came in a little bit later and they missed the opportunity to fill out a card. You can still pray for people, right? You don't have to have a card in order to do that. So let's pray. Both sides of the street, you can stay seated as we do this, but I do want you to pray aloud. So look at that side that says, what do you have to be thankful for? What are you thanking God for? And just pray aloud the prayer requests that they have and that you are joining with them as well. So would you pray out loud, church? So God, I thank you for these people. I thank you, Lord, for this one, for this marriage getting stronger. On both sides of the street, we lift our voice, Lord. We just pray and thank you for the health. The health as they've changed the way they eat and how that's making a difference in their life. Lord, to give meaningful work, we thank you for this person's meaningful work. Lord, for this individual, 30 years clean and sober. God, thank you for breaking that addiction 30 years ago and for doing that every single day. We thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for being faithful and letting us not just know your love, but feel it. And so now you can flip your card over that you have to the side that says, what does the person want to ask God for in 2017? And I want you to pray that right now, whatever those things might be. And so go ahead and do that aloud as well on both sides of the street. So, Lord, I'm praying for complete healing for this person from head to toe, that their brother would be brought to faith. Lord, I pray that you would help this person defeat the debt that they're in. God, would you give them what they need, wisdom, finance? Pray, God, for this marriage to be strengthened. Lord, I pray that you would meet this individual in a greater way in their time with you, that they would show greater love to others, that they would follow through on the vision that you've given them for their life. Lord, we love you. We want to honor you. We praise you. We want to be devoted to prayer. And so now, church, on both sides of the street, the last part of this is I want you to take that orange card with you, and I want you to pray this week until you come back next week. I want you to pray every single day for that person. Now, you could just pray what they have on their card again, or you could pray other things that God might prompt you to pray for them. But I want every single person to be prayed for who comes into our worship gatherings throughout this whole week as we start 2017. Would you join me as we pray? Lord, thank you for your goodness. And I pray, God, now that we would be a church that is devoted to prayer. Lord, we thank you that you hear our prayers because you love us. Lord, help us to have a plan to pray. Help us to believe we can pray short prayers that are filled with the length of your love. Lord, help us to be specific and remove any prayer obstacles that we might face along the way that you would show us. Lord, help us to write them down so we can remember and see whenever you answer our prayers. And might we not just pray alone, but pray with and for one another. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Worship leaders.